So this British actor has several roles in television. He rose to prominence when he played opposite Lenny Henry in the BBC sitcom Chef. Following the run of Chef, he has had reoccurring characters on British soap operas. He joined the cast of Holby City in 2006 after a run on EastEnders as D.I. Riddick and Family Affairs as Gabrielle Drummond. Drum rolls, please! As we welcome the gorgeous Roger Grimmins. Hello!
Hey,
baby!
Hey. How are you doing, my darling?
I feel very fortunate. I feel really, really fortunate. You know, it's, you know, when I first started doing this show on Colourful Radio, you sort of think to yourself, right, I want to do a show called Movers and Shakers. And what that actually means is that we talk to movers and shakers within their industry. Okay. And of course, we want to talk to celebrities like yourself. And, you know, the week goes on and I feel blessed because every week we actually do manage to find celebrities, because people will say to me, well, how many black celebrities are there? Do you know if there are that many?
Yeah.
But you're all out there and you're all working. So, Roger, I'll ask you the same question as I did Joseph. When we first saw you back in Chef, we were all delighted. Oh, we all fell in love with you. Does that feel like a long time ago for you?
It is a long time. I mean, I did, before Chef, I did nearly 8 years of theatre.
Wow.
Which I loved. I mean, I did some wicked roles on the stage, and television wasn't really available to us at the time in abundance, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There was a couple of shows like The Desmonds and The Real McCoy that you could pass through.
Yeah.
But there wasn't much on. But when Chef came along, I grabbed that up. I'm actually a trained chef, would believe it or not.
Are you really? Is that why you think you got the job? Go on.
I know I got the job because of that. Because of the stories I told Lenny in the interview. He threw me out. He was laughing so much, he threw me out. And I thought, oh, God, I've messed it up. And he gave me the job.
So what's, I mean, are you still in contact with him?
I am now and again. I mean, obviously, he's a busy man, I'm a busy man. He lives at one side of the earth and I live at the other. But the country and I live at the other. But he, you know, we phone. If he's doing any shows, I'll phone him. I'll go up and and see him, you know. The industry is very kind of, the industry doesn't warrant you keeping in touch sometimes. It really is difficult, you know, with a man like Lenny especially.
Very, very busy. Very busy.
That's right.
And, oh, well, that's good because that's
good. But there's still love. There's still love. That's the main thing. There's still love there, you know.
No, it's a good job that you're not in close contact with him, because I was just about to ask you about his business with him and Dawn.
Joking. There you go.
I'm joking.
There you go. You're a lick of something. You were setting me up. I said you were reeling me in. Listen, baby, I've done this before, honey.
It must have been pretty much like that for you back then, though. Everybody wanting to know, you know, they'd have you. Go on.
No, sorry, baby. You know, you hit on a note there, because it was my first, when I did Chef, obviously you get the press and you get sent out to these interviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started realising that, especially when it got to the television interviews, that they wanted me to dish the dirt on Lenny.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Dawn. I don't even think they knew my name half the time. You know, they'd say, "Oh, so you sit down, Mr. About Lenny. About Lenny. Just some dirt on Lenny." And I went back to Lenny and said, "Look, Lenny, I can't do any more of these things." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, they're just begging me to dish dirt on you, and I don't even know you. I don't even know what you do. Give me some dirt. Give me some dirt, man. Because I ain't got nothing to say." You know, so it was, that broke my heart really in a kind of funky way, because I wanted to talk about me. Yeah. I wanted to say, how long I've been in the business, and all of a sudden I've just been discovered. You know what I mean? It was like that feeling, but that's the world we live in, and it's getting worse as well. You know.
So with Joseph can hardly, you know, go into a shop without somebody recognising him and calling him.
He's a daddy.
Well, he is.
He's a daddy. You're not the daddy.
No, man, I ain't no daddy. I'm young and handsome.
He's a young and handsome daddy. I'm privileged to work with that man. The cast is absolutely gorgeous on this one.
I can imagine. No, but what I wanted to ask you is that, you know, we have seen you in many different roles, but the one that stands out for us is where you did play the chef opposite Lenny. What do people recognise you when they're out? Who do they recognise you as when you're out?
You know, that's the beautiful thing about kind of my career so far is that I get hits from all over. I mean, Chef, I'm always surprised because Chef was nearly 18 years ago. It was a long time ago. But I mean, I get hits from Chef. I get hits from Family Affairs. The soap kind of. I did the soap route. From theatre shows, from children shows, all kinds, depending on who's standing in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a mix. It's mixed. Obviously, when I was in the soaps, they were current. It was the soaps, but all over. I can't say there's any one thing. Or it's an old college friend. Do you know what I mean? I've never ruled it out. Someone says, I know you, and I never think automatically it's from television. I said, well, wait, what school do you go to? That's how I operate. But I've moved around a lot. I mean, I have moved. So some of them just can't pick me out a lot of the time. They just think that they know me as a member of the family or, you know.
Yeah, no,
cool as well.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Now, so what's it like to work together?
With
Joseph. Sorry.
Oh man, we share our rooms, man. Joe and I, baby. You know, I tell you the truth. I've been around for nearly 26 years, and I've never worked with Joe.
Yeah.
And I've seen all of the stuff, most of the stuff he's done, and obviously abroad as well. Some of the stuff he's done abroad, and I've never got to work with the man. And now, I mean, I'm glad it's now.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good time to be working with somebody like Joe for me, because I'm still learning and I have that hunger still. You know, I spent took a few months out, and then the credit crunch happened and I had to get my ass back to work. But, I prayed for a theatre job because I haven't done theatre in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I did 8 years solid, and then I did the TV thing and the film thing and a lot of the radio thing, which leads to film or TV. And then, you know, I did a couple of readings, but from the Posse days, the Posse is another one that they kind of pulled me out on. But from the Posse days, that was the last time I kind of, you know, was on stage on a fully blown show, you know. So this is the perfect show to come back for.
And so, Joseph, what would you say about young Roger here? He's part of the, is he still recognized, or would you still class him as part of the young guns? Or?
Well, you said it. I mean, young Roger. I mean, I still see him as young Roger, which is very strange. I mean, he's a mature man, you know, he's a successful actor. But you have to remember that just as the old geezers see me as a young man, and yet it's perfect. This is great, great fun. This is, we get on as a company, we get on marvelously well together, and I think we act incredibly well together as well. And but for me to see Roger mature as an artist, that's the word, not a performer, as an artist, is just delicious.
Now,
it's just delicious.
I have to jump in here because there's something very mischievous about the two of you working together.
What?
He says innocently. Are you the pranksters of the show? I mean, do you pull pranks? Or are you very serious?
We don't have. We have a kind of a vignette of a scene together where we it's like the old bull and the young bull. We fight for dominance.
Oh,
and that's all I will tell you, unless Roger wants to tell you more. But
no, you summed it up pretty well there, my man. You've done, you know, you do be proud.
but it's Danny, Danny Sapani and Julie Saunders that, you know, we have these moments because my character is kind of, you know, strange.
Yeah,
we have these moments with that can be naughty. I have a hat, and certain things happen with that hat, which is great. But Roger and I, our scene is we can't afford to kind of deviate too much from it, because it establishes one thing, you know. He's in fact the young me.
Oh,
yeah. It's very, very poignant. It's very good.
All right, because you know, I need to get through a couple of emails, and I need to bring our other guests in as well, and we don't have much time. Let's just I spoke to Bev Randall.
Yes.
Not Bev, sorry.
Paulette
Randall. Bev, of course, is a sister, and I'm friends with both of them. Last week, and she, what's she like to work for on this? Because she's directing this play, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She is the only British director that the late August Wilson has given permission to direct his plays.
Wow.
That is monumental.
If you imagine, yeah, this man is a three-time Pulitzer Prize winner. He's got prizes from the Library of the USA. He's got, you know, all the foundations. And this little girl from Brixton is the one he believes can make his plays come to life. I mean, it's extraordinary. The girl is extraordinary.
She's got skills.
Oh, skittles, man. The girl is beyond words. And, you know, it's like you saying a few moments ago, where are the celebrities, you know? And it's not that we hide our light under a bushel. We don't do that at all. It's just simply we are victims of circumstance.
Victims of circumstance. Well, I hope that Colourful Radio, we are going DAB fairly shortly. Yes. So I hope that we can be the platform, the light that you can all stand under.
Well, thank you. It's an extraordinary thing to allow us this morning to come in and talk about the play, Radio Golf, and talk about ourselves. And we have another 2 weeks to go. And I mean, people should see it, because it's...
Come and see the show.
It is the play about us. Yeah. It is about our progress and what we win and what we lose, what we have to sacrifice to, you know. But within it, it is about black people. And it's funny. It's funny. I can't use that word on radio, but trust me, it's brilliant.
All right. Okay.
At the Tricycle Theatre.
You're not going to go yet. But it's perfect. It's definitely perfect. It's at the Tricycle Theatre. If you want to know more about it, you can go to www.tricycle.co.uk. It's on from... It was started the 2nd of October. It runs through to the 1st of November. Now, listen, black people, I know it sounds like you've got a bit of time.
You know, there is no time, like now.
Yeah,
there's no time like the present.
That's right. You know what I mean? Come and see it next week. Now, are you going to stay with us a little while longer, Roger?
I can do, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to go up to a commercial break. You're going to be with us for a while, because I want to introduce you to somebody else who's coming into the studio right now. And I've got one email here from Rosemary. Rosemary says, "Hey, Elaine, loving Joseph on the show. Joseph, I am so glad that you keep coming back to perform at my local theatre, The Tricycle. Do you like the intimacy of The Tricycle? Can you answer in about 10 seconds?
I do. It's great. It's great. And if you want to see our great performers, that's where you go to see them. The Tricycle, the engine room of theatre in Great Britain.
Isn't it fantastic? It makes my heart go shh. So do you, Roger, but you're just not here.
I know, baby. I know. I'm very jealous, actually. Very jealous that he's looking into your eyes right now. Watch that man, you know. Watch that man. Let me tell you. He's slick. He's very slick.
It's working, you know? And I don't care. Look.
Thank you, Roger.
All
right.
That's what they all
say. Right. Your tenor is in the post.
Listen, people, keep those emails coming in, www.colourfulradio.com. We are speaking to Roger Griffiths, who's on the phone, and we've got Joseph Marcel, who sat right here in front of me.